You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Back, bro.
Columbia Pictures takes you beyond the future to a universe you've never seen before.
I think you're going a little high, man.
It's okay, man. If there's one thing I know, it's how to drive when I'm stoned. It's like you know your perspective's fucked, so you just gotta let your hands work the controls as if you're straight.
Oh, wow. Good landing, man.
A universe of mystery.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospective. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me is Philip.
Philip Shadburn.
And joining us in just a second is Michael Benton.
All right, Kale, do me a favor and do a mic test real quick.
Hello.
There you go. Give me
hello.
Talk like you normally talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospective. I am your host, Kale Smith.
There
and joining me today is Philip Shadburn.
Take one step off that mic. There you go. All right, Phil, let's get a mic check from your brother.
What's up, titties and beer, y'all?
Do it again.
What's up, titties and beer, y'all?
Okay, let's do one more time.
And cocaine.
Titties, beers, and cocaine, y'all.
There it is. All right, now we got ourselves a fucking podcast. Are you kidding me here?
Are we still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Oh, okay.
I'm the producer.
All right.
Michael is our producer slash guest host. He's helping us out today, as there isn't. Weird echo in this room. So anyway, today we are going to be talking about Heavy Metal, the anthology series slash animated movie slash adult softcore porn.
It was It was like Canadian hentai without all the weird grossness. Mainly, you know, titties, a little bit of a vagina shot. Not an open vagina, though.
For our American audiences that are clearly, they want to be, you know, they don't know anything, they don't know what Canadian hentai is, and they don't know anything outside American.
Made it up.
Philip, explain to them what Canadian hentai is real quick.
Yeah.
It's in there. Is that weed?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Canadian hentai is like Japanese hentai. But actually, I don't think there's such thing as Canadian hentai. I just said that because it's heavy metal is like softcore porn meets like fantasy, sci-fi, gore fest kind of thing.
So like softcore porn today on Skinamax.
Yeah, or, you know, I don't think Skinamax is a real channel, Kale.
Oh, wait, they got rid of it now?
There's Cinemax, Stars, and HBO and stuff like that. But I think Skinemax was another name for Cinemax after the 11 o'clock time slot.
Okay.
You get the saxophone music, you know?
Right.
The heavy petting.
Yeah, so going into this movie, it starts off with a guy falling out of a convertible out of space and landing on...
An astronaut
in a convertible, landing on, I'm assuming it's Earth, and he just drives up.
Well, it's
up
the Earth, not this Earth. Well, it's our Earth, but, you know.
Okay.
Unless you believe in different Earths, I mean, that's okay. I mean, Young Thug does, and he's cool.
And he's just, you know, and it just starts off like this weird, like, and then you have this globe that just melts people.
The Loch Nahr.
Loch Nahr. It's called Loch Nahr.
Okay, a Loch Nahr. And then it just starts telling stories onto this girl, like
yeah.
like a symbolic rape.
basically...
Kale.
Don't mention
what, Ray. What would probably be good is give a little background, what year this came out, the rating, who directed it, and that kind of stuff. Give that at the top, that way people know what movie they're dealing with. I'll be back here.
Okay, hey. hey.
What were you laughing at, Phil?
Making fellatio...
Through the
you were making fellatio hands through the window.
The talkback is in recording.
And I have the mind of a 13-year-old
boy.
No, it doesn't record.
Okay, but you can hear me anyways?
Well, I can hear you through the door.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That was my first day producing, guys.
He's new here. I mean, he's been on the show multiple times. He was even on our first episode, but yeah, he's new. Anyway, so background information. This movie came out in 1981. As we mentioned, it's a Canadian/American production. And it featured a lot of Canadian and American voice actors, including comedians like John Candy and Harold Ramis. And
Dave Thomas.
Yep.
Not founder of Wendy's.
Yeah, so it was a interesting, you know, it was like an interesting, like, this was like the startup movie. And as far as background information, I believe that Heavy Metal, it's a comic book series. And is it? I can't. It's like the information I was looking up, it was very scarce. So, interesting and... What?
Don't react to everything.
Oh, okay. So, interestingly enough...
But hey, like, while I got you there, your levels right? are good. Everybody's levels are good. No clipping. Hey, make that the new... No clipping.
So, yeah, going... So there isn't much to go on this movie, and as far as research goes...
Eugene Levy's in it, too. Levy.
I know.
I always said Levy, but recently I heard Levy.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm Michael.
Gotta get closer to the mic.
No, they can hear me in studio noise. Hey, guys, no, don't touch the mic. Hey, guys, this is Michael. I'm the producer, and we're here. We're gonna take Kale's show into the fucking stratosphere. Kale, you're the rocket. But guess what? Philip and I are the nuclear bombs tipping this North Korean bitch. You ready? Let's go up there and let's blow this shit up.
So you're not the pilots?
No.
Okay. Just checking. All right. So with that said, speaking of nuclear bombs, what?
The budget for Heavy Metal was $9.3 million. It made $20.1 million in the box office, so...
Yeah,
he got his money back and then some.
Yeah, for that time, it was a really small cult thing. And
oh, yeah, it didn't. I don't think it gained. Yeah, it does do the cult status thing where later on in the later on in life, it gets the respect it deserves. You know.
Right, and then so. With that said, let's talk actually about the movie.
Okay.
Because the movie is one of those things where it's like, you know, I've seen anthology movies, and they try to make sense. Like, they try to have, like, a purpose with all of it, like, leading up to a thing, and it makes all sense.
All leads into one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, it's like, I think the only purpose of making this movie was to have fantasy and boobs.
Well, no. I mean, each anthology or each, I guess, short had something to do with the Loch Nahr. I mean, that was the main thing, was the green orb, Loch Nahr,
sure.
And how it would change people or kill people or...
Yeah, but even after,
manipulate.
Like, the Harry Canyons, the Henry, or is it Harry?
Harry Canyons.
After that storyline...
That's one
just,
of my favorite ones.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite, too.
It's got a noir kind of thing.
Yeah, and, like, techno, you know, future, and it even has like a whole message attached to it, whereas I feel like, again, as we keep going on in the story, it's like
very Blade Runner kind of
before Blade Runner.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, as the film goes on, it's like it kind of forgets the kind of stories and messages it wants to tell and just becomes a story where, you know, robots are, you know, fucking women. And then you have, you know, radiated zombies, which is clearly a Dan O'Bannon thing.
You talking about the one with the bomber that was going over? Yeah, that's awesome.
It is, and I mean, it's awesome, but and maybe I'm thinking too much into this. Well, where does it go?
Okay. This movie was made for teenage boys in the 1980s. So
apparently,
do you really need that diverse of a plot or that specific? I mean, it's titties, blood, sex, swords, laser guns, aliens, sci-fi, fantasy, all rolled into one. I mean, I saw the movie when I was like 13, not in the 80s. And when I saw it, which was like on like maybe Showtime or HBO, like late night, I was amazed at it, you know, in my adolescence, and you know.
Well, it's a ballsy movie. It
really is.
I mean,
I'm sure then, like, it probably got like an X rating or like an NC-17.
I still want to say it got an R. Like,
it has an R now, but
okay.
I think it might have.
It might have just had an X rating to start out with, and then over time it either got re-rated, especially when they brought in the NC-17.
Here's a review from Rotten Tomatoes.
Who wrote the review?
Just says Rotten Tomatoes reports it got a 5.6 out of 10, and they said it's sexist, juvenile, and dated, but heavy metal makes up for its flaws with eye-popping animation and a classic, smartly used soundtrack.
But that's the thing, though, about the animation is there are times where it doesn't feel complete. Like, you can tell, like, the animation is just...
Okay, but compare, like, animation from the fucking 1980s to, like, now? Yeah, of course, it's gonna be a little...
No, even then, it was like...
Have you not seen a Ralph Bakshi film? Besides this?
This was not even a Ralph Bakshi movie.
Yes, it is. He directed it.
He directed it. You got burnt. You got burnt on your own.
No. It was a different director.
No, it was not. No, it's Ralph Bakshi made this.
There was
actually no, he's right. Directed by Gerald Potterton.
Boom.
Ralph Bakshi had something to do with this, but
I forgot to press record.
Damn.
Oh yeah?
You bastard.
But the animation of it, though, was very Ralph Bakshi. Like, have you seen Wizards?
Actually, I've never seen a Ralph Bakshi movie.
Oh, fuck.
I've heard of Ralph Bakshi, and I've heard of the insanity that his movies have.
You should check. Yeah, he's got, he has Wizards, American Pop. He did the Lord of the Rings movie, the animated one. Yeah, and a couple more. I think he did a movie called Coonskin, which was a blaxploitation. It was an animated half, like it was animated and real at the same time.
So let's get back to heavy metal, because I feel...
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to talk about fucking Ralph Bakshi movies at all.
Well...
Got shut down. Hey, guys, Michael here, new producer here over at the Youth Critic Podcast. We're also changing the name. Starting next week, it's going to... What was it again?
Michael and Phil Show?
Yeah, it was the Michael and Phil Show, starring... also with Kale at
Starring Thomas. The very...
Comic ramblings of one Michael and both Philip and us show. So
I knew just letting you guys be on here would be...
And Kale.
You would just take over. Kale, become divas.
Bitch, you've been X-nayed. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out.
I created this show. I can communicate you out.
Oh, shit. Oh. Hey, how's Salem Witch Trials of the Song, bitch? Right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So what movie are we talking about, guys?
Oh, we're talking about heavy metal, Michael. So what did you think about it?
I'm not a fan. I'm a punk rocker, so I don't really like a lot of the guitar solos. I feel like they go on too long.
So, okay, hello. So what about the boob angle? Like, sounds what did you think about, like, the context of boobs. The boobs?
All the boobs?
Like, yeah, like, well, no, not all the boobs specifically.
I was answering.
Like, stupid people, I think they're fine.
They're okay.
No. I mean, like, the context of boobs in the movie. Like, how boobs is used in the movie.
I think the context of boobs in movie is the following. I like them. If they're round, if they're sharp, metallic, can stab out human eyeballs. Mm-hmm. I think we should probably seek some sort of way to mitigate the crisis as much as possible. But otherwise, yeah, I'm pro-boob, but I won't suck them. But I do work out so I don't have them on my body. But I also won't suck them or push them together and fuck them.
Suck them, push them together, and fuck them. Bare
yeah,
titties.
That's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite jingle. So, yeah, that's basically my feeling on boobies.
But what about the movie?
Which one?
Boobies? Heavy Metal.
Boobies the movie? Heavy Metal. The Ralph Bacci movie? Ralph Baccio movie? I loved Whack On, Whack Off. I loved... when Mr. Yanari said, "No, you get your goddamn hands off her, you scumbag." I love all of that shit. Here's what I don't like about cartoon movies. And I mean this legitimately. I know you're lying to me, cartoon movie. I know you ain't real. You think I'm going to fall for that shit? Like, I'm not falling. Like, Phil, you know what I'm saying? Like, Phil,
oh
right? Like, I'm not falling
no,
for
No, you're not
that
falling
shit.
For it. You know, can't get tricked.
So I think, like, if it really came down to it, what I... If it was, like, F, Mary kill this movie, I'd seek a fourth option of, mm-hmm. like, maybe some sort of, like, courtship. Not of Eddie's father or anything, but, like, just a courtship of this movie. And I'd say, I don't know if I like you. Let's go out to eat. Do you like cheese curds? You do. I'm leaving you right now. I think they're gross.
That is, like, the most political correct statement you've ever given on this
what,
show.
You just, like, cucked me out on the radio.
Jesus Christ. All
right, easy, old writer.
What's your least favorite
Not short?
Scene, but short in it?
Probably the ending. It makes
the
no sense.
The one with the warrior chick with the
well,
flying
not that
dragon
one,
chicken?
Well,
are you talking about
like
the ending
very,
with
very
the little
ending.
Girl and the orb?
Yeah, because
where
it,
she becomes the new
because it makes no sense how it
warrior?
Blows up. It doesn't make sense how it's like. Okay, so the spoilers, everyone. I mean, spoilers for a 36-year-old movie. The movie ends with who is the girl in the other speech? Terrakia, Terra.
It's something
it's
like that.
It's Pterodactyl.
Yeah, whatever. She like evaporates into lightning and then strikes the orb, and then it blows up and while also blowing up in this real time, almost like it's like blowing up all together in like the real time limit, like
yeah.
in all of reality.
Yeah. Okay. Go on. Sorry.
And then the girl just goes out and she sees her house blows up and then she sees another pterodactyl. And
it's
then
becomes
she goes
her
away.
Friend, and then
let
she goes into that realm, and she's the new hero.
Can I jump in real quick?
Get it? It's mm-hmm. not that hard.
Why aren't we talking about the animation itself?
Yeah.
It's a cartoon film. What did you think about the animation, Kale?
I thought it was, quality-wise, it was, I mean, they really stretched the budget as much as they could. However, during the first half of the movie, I could tell, like, there were... like wide shots of, you know, like how in wide animated shots you would have like people running or just trying to do something mm-hmm. to make the animation seem more lively. There's a lot of shots, particularly in the first half, where there's just, you know, where it really is just like a painting mixed with, you know, an object that's moving.
Yeah, but a lot of those
yeah,
like older
well,
animated
yeah, that's a
shit
technique.
Did that though.
That's a technique. That's a
yeah.
Right, but it feels like like the movie's still in storyboard phase. Like it's still like trying to get enough
you know,
animation.
I'm sorry,
and
it can't be Phineas and Ferb and SpongeBob and all that stuff you grew up on.
I'm not
actually,
asking
you know
about
funny,
that.
Actually, what's funny is SpongeBob, Ren and Stimpy. They also employed similar techniques in their animation mm-hmm. styles because they were based on 1950s techniques of cartoon animation, which is to you could have a painted background. I forget the particular name of the technique, but you would layer.
Rotoscoping?
It was not rotoscoping. No. It was similar, but not rotoscoping.
Okay. I mean, not every cartoon can be Hey Arliss.
But
Robert Wolf for the win.
But, well, sure. I mean, you bring up, you know, a really interesting point. However,
is that they did a good job, and you're just trying to find something to poop on them with. Don't use your turds. Nitpick. Use your words.
Yeah.
That means
if you use your turds, you're going to stink up the room.
Yeah, that you are. No and currently, sense. This room, Philip, stinks like straight up shit.
Shit.
So, I mean, I've been use locked your words. In here. Use your words.
Guys, I've been locked in here for 3 weeks. Help me.
Oh, my God. No. Dale, you're help crazy. Me, no. Girl, no. Okay. So, but, so I understand as a critic, you think you have to find something to poop on consistently, but.
No. Because I do have positives.
Okay. Give me the positives.
Give why me positive and negatives.
Why are we talking about negatives in such a negative time? Let's talk about the positives.
Nazis are coming back.
Yeah, Nazis
but they wear khaki
actually,
shorts and Sperry's.
I'm friends with Kale on Instagram.
Yeah.
And his Instagram has been nothing but pro alt-right swastika laden.
Oh, God.
Like, dude, it's insane.
Your great-grandfather stormed the beaches of Normandy, and you're going to disrespect him like that?
Whoa. He was storming the beaches, but he was on the other side of the team, bro.
He's on South Beach.
I told you I was half German.
The other team.
Yeah, I know what you meant by gay.
Oh, okay.
I told y'all I was half German.
Are you half German?
Yeah, technically.
Gutencock.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, but here's the deal about heavy metal, right?
Right. It's a fine movie. It's a really, like, what, you know.
Can you say it was fun?
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Like, because here's the thing about it.
Interview over.
Despite its shortcomings.
What are the shortcomings again?
I'll get to that in a second. Hold that thought. Despite the shortcomings, it still is remarkably entertaining and still has stories within it and worlds in it that are unique and you do not see in movies nowadays. So while the movie is, like, I will admit, the movie is pretty sexist. However, this is kind of a fun world that's ballsy. And
it's booby.
Okay, whatever. It's
boobs.
Boobsy.
There are balls in it, though. Real.
Are there balls?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sign me up.
During the John Candy sequence, there's balls.
Did you see John Candy's nuts in this? I'm down.
Yeah, they were drawn in.
Oh, yeah.
Now that's rotoscope.
You're talking about where the teenager turns into, like, the big, like.
Yeah, the big hulking dude.
But hold on, before we talk about
that. Big hulking black
man. So keep going, though. I just want to hear you say something fucking nice for once about a movie.
It was fun. You know, especially during the courtroom scene where Hand Over Fist turns into, like, Incredible Hulk, but not really.
Nobody, for the people who haven't seen this movie, don't explain the scene. But what is it that, like, is just fun in a general way of explaining it? Like, I don't know who Hand Over Fist is.
Okay.
Don't explain him to me.
No, I'm helping. No, I got it.
Awesome.
It's fun in that you're just admiring the holy shitness of this movie.
There it is. Awesome.
There you go. Yeah.
You're
there
admiring how. Because let me ask you this: do you see many movies like this nowadays?
No.
Do you see many movies like this?
No.
Where
that's
in
what
animated
made it
movies?
Unique.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't make it nowadays. For the one thing,
oh,
you didn't
no.
they didn't make
is
Sausage
that,
Party.
No, for one thing.
Yeah, but that was like groceries, not a pair of tits and everything.
No, hold on. It's a bunch of puns. I get it. But for the one thing you pointed out is it is sexist. It's like fun rock and roll. Back
I know
in the
every
day,
story has a naked girl in it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a naked girl. It doesn't make it inherently sexist.
Well, it's the context, I guess.
What's the context for the most sexist scene, I guess, if you had to point one out?
Where all the women fall in love with all the male characters. Like,
well,
just...
That's a
you
happy
know,
ending.
In a fantasy...
Yeah.
In a fantasy, like, setting, like, oh, I loved it. I loved being fingered by a robot.
First off...
Well, I mean, women
I've
use dildos, and
no,
that's
kind
of...
Oh,
you had
somebody who's been fingered
finger?
By a robot? Hell the fuck yeah, it feels great, dude. Got milked by that shit, son.
Okay.
I don't think it's sexist that the women are naked. I think it's sexist in that all it's designed for is, like Philip said, for 13-year-old boys in the 80s to get their little red rockets going.
Yeah.
To get kickstart on puberty. Is that what you meant?
No, because I think biologically that I don't think a movie's ever biologically
kickstarted.
But I would
well,
say
it would be
that
one of the catalysts.
Well, I don't know. As somebody who hasn't gone through puberty yet still at the age of 29, I don't know. But what I will say is my wiener gets so hard at animation that's well done. And I think for the time period, that's pretty solid, fun animation. It's fun. It's pulpy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it has going for. I think that's one of the charmers about it. I haven't seen much of it. I've seen about 30 minutes. So I'm really not qualified at all to even talk about this. But as the producer, I'm sitting in for a second. And what I'm saying is y'all bitches need to wrap this the fuck up. Because after this, we've got the local fucking college shock jock coming in. You know, Riggedy Rob.
Hey, Riggedy Rob here.
Yeah, he's coming in. He's bringing in the
poop and penis farts.
He's bringing in a little person.
Oh.
A mentally handicapped person. He doesn't call these people that.
That's sweet.
Yeah, he calls them the FAP pack.
Uh-huh.
It's a like...
FAP?
Yeah, FAP.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But anyways, we got to wrap this up, right, guys? We got to wrap this up.
Okay.
You got exactly 1 minute?
So...
Relax.
Oh, by the way, there was a sequel to this.
Yeah, Heavy Metal 2000.
I have not seen the sequel, but you have, apparently.
If you're a movie watcher and a critic, go ahead and watch it. I did not like it.
So we are recommending Heavy Metal 2000 for critics.
But if you want to watch it just because you've seen the first one, and so you could compare the two, because the second one is not an anthology. It's just one straight story going through, which I guess is easier for people to follow. I couldn't get into it.
Okay, I mean...
I also didn't like the soundtrack. I don't like a whole lot of, like, new metal kind of stuff.
You guys aren't even talking about the fucking soundtrack from the first one.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Well, let's go to the soundtrack.
This is terrible. It's heavy metal. It's known for its soundtrack, which is... It has no heavy metal.
No, it has Blue Oyster Cult, Stevie Nicks. They do have Black Sabbath,
Journey.
But it's Dio years. They have Journey, the open arms song. There is Don Felder from...
Arms.
The Eagles does take a ride on heavy metal. Sammy Hagar.
Michael, you've never seen the sequel either.
It's your one way ticket to midnight.
I've never. What are you talking over when people are talking? That's so rude.
Fuck you. Go in your little.
You've never seen the sequel
cage.
Either, Michael.
What?
You never saw the sequel.
The
right?
sequel to
Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal 2000.
Yes, I have not.
Okay. Cool. So, I haven't either,
soundtrack?
But... no, the soundtrack is something very important to talk about. Now, Philip likes classic rock, even though we can all agree classic rock is pretty much garbagey shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot, white garbage.
What's
your favorite band?
No,
hold on, we never.
I like a lot
hold
of
on.
Music,
We've
you
got...
know, I just don't like two things.
Well, to be fair, this isn't a music podcast.
But Kale...
but it has
no,
a soundtrack,
this is a
though.
Movie.
It's movie,
with this
and
is,
you have the
in
soundtrack.
Movies, yeah, music is very important in movies, Kale.
What if there was no music in movies?
Favorite band?
Good question. What's your favorite band? I just want to see where you're at
tough.
Musically.
I never have a favorite band because I usually like a few other...
You're not doing that. It's not fair. Pick one. I know. It's an unfair question. I agree.
If you had to see one
like,
concert
like
of any band
your,
from the past to now, who would it be?
You talked
well, I don't
over
even know
him,
the
so
future.
Heard that. What was it?
If you could choose any band to see a concert, it does not matter if they're here or if they're still, you know, if they're dead or whatever.
Any
just
band throughout
one,
history,
yeah.
Who would you say?
Do movie composers count?
No, they do not at all.
No, okay. You cannot see John Williams.
Okay. I would love to see... Oh, God, this is tough.
It doesn't matter.
Fine, I'll throw Journey.
Say the Beatles.
Who?
I'll throw Journey out.
Yeah, hold on. Do you know more than three songs by Journey?
Wheel in the Sky, Separate Ways.
Stone in Love.
Hold on, don't throw that one.
Open Arms and...
It's with arms wide open.
Whatever.
What is happening to
whatever.
This fucking podcast? I feel like I'm on Crazy Pill.
I think that's Crad.
Faithfully.
Okay.
You missed,
Any way you want it, that's the
or
way
or what's the
need.
Other one?
Too
don't
long.
Stop believing.
Too oh, long. I would also go to a Queen concert.
Oh, fuck
yeah.
Yeah, I'd
well,
see
who
Queen.
Wouldn't?
Yeah.
Wait, was Queen... I can't remember. Was Queen in this movie?
Queen was not. Queen did.
Oh, they did Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon,
which is garbage.
Oh,
Flash.
Whatever. Whatever.
No, here. I love Queen. I just Flash Gordon was so fruity.
Gay.
I was too gay for. I'm gay. I thought it was too gay.
Hey, well, what did you think of A Nightmare on Elm Street 2 then?
I love it because that was a very gay character. I totally agree. No, I know. Even when I was a kid. Here's the thing. When I was a kid, let's talk about that for a second. Anybody who's ever seen Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, it's one of the I think it's the great American horror film. The sequel is so inherently gay. I mean, like, out loud gay. And that's not even being unfair or reading into it. It's literally gay.
Oh, the gym teacher
scene where he's at the gay bar completely covered in leather in that nightmare sequence.
Or when producer Robert Shay is wearing, like, BDSM clothing.
Yep, that's right. He was the bartender. Uh-huh. That's right. Yep.
BTK clothing.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fucking sick. Because there's also...
And there's even, like, a line where the character's like...
The main character.
The main character's like, I don't want to... Well,
he says this. The plot of the movie is Freddy has now decided to find an avatar in the human real world to commit his violence through. So he finds this young man who's about 16 or so, new to town, and he infiltrates him through the nightmare world to infest his body. So that now, mm-hmm. through him, he can kill people. Almost like a puppet master scenario. So there's a scene in there where the totally gay, and the years later, the actor who played him was openly gay.
Yeah.
Where he says this line to his best friend. He says, Freddy's inside of me.
There's someone trying to get inside of me.
Yeah, that's
it. And then there's the line of, and you want to sleep with me.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, and instead of, like, sleeping with your girlfriend, you want to sleep with me. That's his best friend whose house he ran to after his girlfriend wanted to go down on him. He was about to get his first BJ, boys. Right? And he bounced to go be with his best friend who just happens to look like fucking John Travolta in the 70s. Like, good looking, you know.
Yeah, and...
So when I was a kid, that was my favorite one besides the Dream Warriors because... I didn't know why, though. I did not know he was gay. It's all subtextual. It's not even subtextual, really.
I think they tried, but they failed miserably.
No, they didn't try at all. If you see them in... That's not what I mean. If you see that documentary, that amazing four-hour documentary called Never Sleep Again about the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, they say flat out, we had no idea. The makers of the second one... It's considered the gayest horror film ever made.
Really?
But, and yeah, like, mm-hmm. just Google gayest horror film.
Maybe that would be...
Actually, there's an article, Cracked.com did that.
Yeah, no, seriously, look it up. Cracked has a great article on it. It's the number one gayest film, a horror film of all time. Unintentionally, that's the other thing. And when in the documentary, they asked them, and they all said, we had no idea. We literally had no idea. And now that we see it, yeah, it's the gayest thing ever. This is nothing except for the actor, except for the main actor who was openly gay.
And the screenwriter.
It was the screenwriter gay?
No, the screenwriter, I was saying, like, the screenwriter knew that he was making a gay movie, but he was trying to keep it subtext.
He says that, yeah, he says it was subtext, but I think he was just flat out just making it gay. I love it. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a dance sequence in there where they try and steal some of that risky business thunder. And he's just banging his little butt around to, like, the gayest, cheapest 80s song they could buy.
Yeah, because the movie still only costs, like, $2 million to make.
Yeah, they cranked that bitch out. It's so gay. Sorry, I didn't mean to distract. That movie, I am uniquely qualified to talk about the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
And one day we'll get to that. One day we'll get to the Nightmare on Elm Street
movies. And me did a Wes Craven Memoriam episode.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about the franchise.
We really should have. I hadn't seen that documentary yet. That blew my fucking lid.
Oh, I already saw that documentary before. Anyway, heavy metal. So, did you guys know back in, like, the late 2000s, like, between 2008 and 2009, they were going to try and make another heavy metal movie?
Really?
With James Cameron and David Fincher, like, they were going to executive produce it and direct a couple of the segments.
That would have been cool.
And they also got, like, Rob Zombie involved. They got...
Well, they
got
to get the newer, more modern bands.
And they got Gore Verbinski, Zack Snyder.
Gore Verbinski, I like him.
Yeah. And it was going to be, like, a $50 million movie, and it was going... I don't remember if it was going to be live action or not.
I think they would have to keep it animated. If you went live action with that, I think it would be too... I don't want to say, like, over the top, but too much, you know, of the...
You think, like, the animation kind of keeps it from...
Yeah, if you did a live action heavy metal, like, of the first one now, people would be like, what is this campy... bullshit, like,
I agree, it'd be like do you remember when the Wachowski, at the time Wachowski brothers, when they made the Speed Racer live action movie? Pure weird garbage.
Yeah,
it was bad. Like,
some people will say otherwise, even though I have not seen the movie in years. And
how old were you when you saw it?
14.
Did you love it?
No. No.
It looked like Spy Kids or something weird.
It looked seizure-inducing.
Yeah. I almost had a seizure. Like, for real.
I know. It was just, oh, goodness gracious, great balls of fury.
I had a headache walking. Me and my dad both had headaches walking out of that movie.
How about those Wachowski siblings? They're the people who, they're the brothers who... They were brothers when they directed
The Matrix. Inbound.
And now they're both women.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Isn't that crazy?
I just thought it was an urban legend.
No, but yeah,
like,
it's good for them.
Good for them. No. Here's my unlearned question.
So they're the...
Stop! Hold sisters. On. Here's my unlearned question as a gay guy, and I'm asking you too.
Yeah, okay.
Isn't it crazy that two in the same family... Two siblings in the same family would both turn out to be transgender. That just blows my mind.
It's the probability of it is mind blowing.
Yeah. Absolutely good for them, you know. And fuck those Charlottesville Nazi assholes. I'm glad they got, you know, I'm glad, well, some of them are getting their ass handed to them, but.
Yeah.
But no, it's just crazy that both of them were like, you think what I'm thinking? I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. Me too. And then they were like, oh my God, that's amazing.
I know, and I almost want to say they are twins, but then I remember, like...
I think they're 2 years apart. Like,
yeah, they're like a couple... They're like a year or year Coen or two sisters. Apart.
That would be amazing if it was the Coen sisters after a couple years. Oh. I'd be like, all right, there's something with duo directors.
Yeah.
Alejandro and I got a breakup. Something's in the water.
The Weinsteins.
The Weinsteins. You are so Southern. He said Weinsteins.
Weinstein
Kale.
Sisters.
Weinstein. Kale, over here, he just said
Weinsteins. Well, you know, I am a Southerner, and we are in the South.
It's the
I didn't sound like that yet.
Yeah, he said they didn't know Weinstein.
It's the Weinsteins.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's all butthurt.
Oh, going back to heavy metal for a second.
Oh,
guess
God,
who now
do we
even
talk about this fucking movie anymore?
God damn.
Guess who has the rights now to do a movie? Robert Rodriguez.
See, I can see him doing that.
And he wanted to do like a, I want to say anthology series for his El Rey network, but I don't know. But
cool.
According to Wikipedia
and
IMDb, there hasn't been much development after he bought the rights.
I would rather see it as a show.
It probably could work.
Like a Tales from the Crypt.
Is it like a miniseries type deal or?
Probably.
Oh, well, he's not even moving forward with it, so we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, IMDb was very.
Hush,
like,
hush.
Well, that, but also the details were pretty scarce because he only made one announcement about it, and that was it.
Have you talked about, when's this coming out?
This is coming out...
In like an hour?
No.
I'm trying to figure out how dated this is going to be.
It'll be out in a few weeks.
I have a question. Have you already talked about the Coen brothers are about to be streaming on Netflix?
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. I am shedding my britches excited. What the fuck are you doing on your phone?
It's cool. And
he was typing up how to pronounce Weinstein.
Yeah.
It's cool because, you know, a couple months ago, Christopher Nolan kind of made that comment of, if you want a movie to be, you know, seen and want it to be, like, out there and to have, like, praise and all, it should be shown on the cinema screen. And while I agree to an extent, but the thing about Netflix is...
It's the future.
Yeah, and they're saving... Well, they're saving good movies. They're trying to, you know, bring back better movies to watch. The good original movies that we used to grow up on.
Like, what'd you grow... Like, what? Hold on.
Well, probably you guys more, but...
What'd you grow up on?
I grew up on comic book movies. That's why I was referring maybe more to you guys, because you guys grew up with more 90s... stuff where there was more original content, like
he finally got the right decade for our childhood.
Yeah,
the past
he
couple
didn't say
episodes,
the 40s.
Yeah, no, like a couple episodes ago, he said
Robert
like our
Mitchum
childhood was like the fucking 70s.
Yeah,
like I remember when Nixon resigned.
Charles Bronson.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, you guys grew up with more original stories than we did because now everything's getting adapted.
That's not true.
That's untrue. What
that's
about Dennis
true.
The Menace, Little Rascals?
Yeah, exactly. That's been happening for years. It's the same thing when modern movie critics say like they do too many remakes now. They made 8 different Maltese Falcons before they got to the 1939 John Huston version with Humphrey
Bogart.
Fair.
But it just, I guess I should say
that,
there's
this,
more.
This business is a business. It's always done the exact same things for the most part.
I guess I should
just
say I guess I should say more, there was not as much of a homogenized filmmaking.
Homogenized filmmaking? Really? Mm-hmm. Do you want to look at the 1930s when, really, you want to talk about homogeny in filmmaking? Let's look at the 30s. Thunder. That's thunder.
Spooky.
And God is hating our conversation.
Yeah, because it's boring. But I will say that if you want to look at homogeny in filmmaking, go back from the 1990s and earlier.
Homogeneous.
Yeah. I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that there's nothing but superhero movies now, and that's very true. Yeah.
Well,
it's very true, but look at
it's not just superhero movies.
No, but look at the 1970s when it was nothing but the anti-hero. Look at the 1950s when it was nothing but sci-fi films that were basically talking about nuclear war.
It's hard
look
to describe.
Look at the 1930s.
This.
How is it hard to describe this?
Well, it's hard to describe what I'm
give
trying to
give us a try. We're fucking smart. Philip and I, we might not have gone to college. He might not know how to say Weinstein right, but we know stuff too. We're smart. Tell him we're smart.
We're smart.
Okay.
So come on, smart man. Give us some smart stuff.
It's. I'm stumped.
Well, then you don't know the fuck you talking
I'm
about.
Stumped because you're right. There has been like a homogenous environment growing, but I guess.
No, it's not growing. It's just.
Well,
it's always been
here.
Exactly.
It's just.
We go through periods. It's fits and starts, Kale
I guess Bell. It's my way of saying there's not a lot of advancement in technology and how we use it to tell the stories.
In filmmaking?
I don't
What
think
about the development of how lens crafting has gotten so much more superior in the direction?
Right, we're getting to the point where everything is so perfect that...
Not true, because you can also look at the indie movement that that still resonates to this day because it's everywhere now. I agree. It's not as... Well, hold
on. Sorry, audiences. I did the...
he did
well,
the meh
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
he
meh
did,
thing.
As if to say that things suck now. Here's the difference.
Not to say it
no,
sucks.
Hold on.
It's just like...
You're pointing to the 90s for the start of... For when Sundance blew the fuck up in 89 through the 90s. I understand all that stuff. I've read the book by Peter Bizkind. But the difference is...
Okay.
The difference is back then you didn't have YouTube. Now you have YouTube, so now everybody has more access. It's been democratized, right? So you see so much more shitty things shot on cell phones and stuff like that, right? But that's what I'm saying, too. There's crap garbage still out there. And there's amazing filmmaking where it's the fucking craftsmanship has tightened like you wouldn't believe. But they still make mistakes out the ass, too. They still have line producers who don't catch inconsistencies. There's so much. Film is still the same. It's just finding new screens to show it on besides the classic silver screen. I wish it was all at a movie theater, too. I like going to the movies, unlike most turds I know now who, like, just sit at home. I love going to the movies, right? But I also love being able to just, like, beat my dick off, jizz into a sock, roll over.
Throw it in the corner.
Throw it in the corner, dog sniffing it, smack
chewing
it on the snout. Hey, stop that. That's gross. Then flip over. Pull out my iPad, still covered in jizz, wipe it down with my t-shirt, keep wearing the t-shirt because I'm gross, then go to Netflix and put on a superior, like, badass movie, dude.
True that.
Like, up here, bro.
Sharknado.
That's a high five right there, bro.
Sharknado 5. That was actually not that bad.
I heard they're actually getting better. I heard the same thing about Fast and the Furious. I heard they're actually getting better, surprisingly.
The 8 one is not as good as the last one.
F7 or whatever.
Yeah, F7's not... Well, F8 is not as good as F7.
The douchey right. And the douchiest.
Fate is not as good as
Are you
F7.
Still making fun of Fast and Furious? It's been 15 years, Phil Bill.
Has it been 15?
I think it has.
No, 16.
Oh.
Why are you being pedantic? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm like, the robot in Heavy Metal.
Oh, you're going to finger a chick with your arm? Well, that was John Candy, right?
So, look, I think Ralph Bacchio did a good job animating the film. I think it's got some good stuff. Look, I got to go back to producing. Right. Guys, let's wrap this up because I got to go get a blowjob from a fry cook. Phil,
what,
you feel you're
from
getting
where?
Fries.
From where?
I
well,
fries.
No. Save it for later. Save it for later.
No,
tell me later.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not telling you shit. All right, it's at Freddy's Diner off of down in Duluth.
Down at the Sunset Grill. All right, Kale.
So, what are the final thoughts on?
Final thoughts. Which animated chick in the movie do you think had the greatest rack?
How is that a final thought?
The movie was tits. What do you think?
They all look the same to me.
I don't know. Some had pink nipples. Some had kind of brownish nipples. Some had like
okay, just for the sake of this segment. Untoned. Just for the sake of this segment, it was the first one.
The first one?
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at this.
You're talking about the one with Harry Canyons.
Yeah, that. So
I can't fucking hear you, asshole. It's soundproof.
I'm still learning how to work the studio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What the best tits were.
That's what I did.
Oh. I can't. You know what? I don't think I can hear in here either.
Yeah, go do your fucking job.
I accidentally turned everything off.
Fucking Hyman?
Oh, fuck.
Anyway. Yeah, mine was, do you remember the evil chick that was, I guess it was the third one where the nerd turned into the,
Yeah,
I didn't much care for the one with the robot. She had, like, Cheeto nipples.
Okay.
It's like puppy's been gnawing on them.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. My final point on heavy metal is, it is a weird movie, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I appreciate the ballsiness.
For a second. I accidentally leaned on the thing. You're good. Do it one more time, all right? Starting in 1, 2, 3. Start the podcast over.
Anyway.
Damn it.
If you're 13 and you're straight, check out heavy metal.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
What's with the hateful message?
There was no hateful message. I just don't think a homosexual teenager would really like the movie that much.
I did.
You only watched 30 minutes, though.
Yeah, and I turned it off to watch Rocky Horror, but I still, like, appreciated some of it. Mm-hmm. I did want to see Rocky Horror, and the little tight thing is, oh my god, mouthwatering.
I think the producer needs his own fucking show.
Yeah, I'm starting to think so.
What do you think his show would be called?
On this network.
What do you think it would be called?
I think it would be called In the Can.
No. I'm a part of that.
Too weird.
Yeah. Talk.
Mike talk.
I like that.
Mike talking cocks.
I like that.
Cock talk. Okay.
Okay.
You have a show called Cock Talk.
So with that, I like this. It's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie. It's not made to be literal. You know what I mean? Like,
You're not supposed to get a lot out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, Siskel and Ebert probably were like, fuck is this?
I don't even know if they saw the movie.
Nah, they're probably too busy fucking each other's fannies.
Rest in peace, Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert.
Hey, fuck both of them.
Yeah.
Fucking losers.
Anyway, so that is...
how big a douchebag Gene Siskel was. He fucking bought that stupid ass...
I'm a Gene Shalit man.
Not Gene Shalit. Never Gene Shalit. He bought the fucking... He bought the outfit from Saturday Night Live for like $2 million or some crazy shit. Dude sucks the big one. And that fat little jawless turd, Roger Ebert, can suck a dick. They can hear me, don't worry.
Who's the other one?
Richard Roper?
You talking about Richard Raper?
Leonard Maltin?
Fuck that fool.
I remember Leonard Maltin had a show on Stars.
Yeah, called that. Suck. Sorry.
Malt with
anyway,
malt.
So let's wrap this up. Where can... Right. So, do you have social media plugins? Do you have any... Where can the good people find you?
Like me?
Yes.
I have a Facebook. So. My name is Philip Shadburn. my social security number.
No, don't reveal that part. Don't reveal.
I have an Instagram. Same name. I also have a podcast with the producer here, Michael Benton.
Woo!
It's called In the Can, and, you know, we talk movies.
We goof off,
make up our own movies.
Talk about boobies. Talk about dicks.
We got to be fair. And you can check us out. The show is called In the Can. That's C-A-N-N-E-S, not cans. And you can find us on Podbean, iTunes,
Fuck Chuck.
Anything that's not Stitcher, probably.
Yeah, you can't find us on Stitcher. Tell them they can also find us on Pornhub because we made a mistake.
We're on Pornhub.
Accidentally.
it's still the podcast. It's just audio. It's just somehow we're on there.
A lot of fucking.
a lot of the comments are like, this isn't even fucking porn. This is two assholes talking. And I was like, but it really is two assholes talking, though.
Yeah, like, it's just fart noise.
We, like, Ace Ventura'd it.
Ace Ventura'd
it. So, Kale, you know, let's get the fuck out of here. It's raining.
Let's go get shit faced downstairs.
You can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. And then you can also... You can also follow me and this podcast at The Youth Critic, where I update the show every week or so about...
Oh, yeah, but the only way to get there is by marching up my ass, bitch!
And you can email him at altrightboy@gmail.com. TikiTorchNazi@yahoo.
I'm going to get so much shit for this podcast. And this podcast is going to be so dated. Anyway.
I hope so. God, those fuckers are still around.
Anyway, you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KC Network.
Yeah, thanks, follow me at POTUS on Twitter. Super pissed.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the movies, and let's all go to the movies.
Lobby.
Let's all go to the movies.
11. Friday, the 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. Friday, the 13th.